Welcome to the Being Curious Show. I'm Brian Mariani, founder of No Shift Owned.
And I'm Kelly Wagner, publisher of Edge Magazine. Our show is about curiously connecting teachers and seekers on a wide range of topics in a safe space. Few topics will be off limits, and we have some amazing guests to share with you.
Our intention is that our conversations will spark your own curiosity to create a life that lights you up and inspires you to be kind, thoughtful, open-minded to yourself and others.
We are on AM 950, Sundays at 2 p.m. and all podcast platforms. So, Brian, what are you curious about today?
Oh, here we go, Kelly. Doesn't it feel like it's been like a winter for our show?
Yeah, it has.
We've been a little silent. We've been a little silent. People won't know that, of course.
No.
We have so many shows, it'll just run and run. But for us, behind the scenes of our show, we've had a little, like, what is it, 2 week break?
We did.
And you know, it's not like we went on vacation or anything or did anything fun. We were just working.
I want to go to Fiji. Fiji's been kind of calling lately. Like, just been like whispering.
I got to get back. You say Fiji, I say Philippines. We're almost in the same place.
Yeah, well, we could do. Can't we do both?
Yeah, let's do both. Well, we're so happy to be back. I really missed these conversations because they always like these shows are for us too. Like, we love interviewing our guests, but we get to learn so much every single time.
Yeah.
And I'm especially excited today for our guest because she is all about health and really dialing in from a scientific approach how to really impact people in the realm of health and beyond. And so our guest today is Elisa Pospakova. She is the CEO and founder of Kind Root. There's so much to her. I've been geeking out looking at her website.
I'm wondering why your dad
Elisa,
is not
say
like
hi. Oh my gosh, we can't wait. Please say hi, Elisa.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we're so excited. And we're going to ask a question that we ask everyone, which is really, you know, as I've kind of read through your biography and gone through your website, it's very clear to me like what you're doing in the world today, but we're always curious to understand how you got to where you are today. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to ask if there's like a memory or an experience you had earlier on that you can reflect on now and go, oh, well, it makes sense why I'm doing what I'm doing today. Do you have an experience or an idea of what that could be?
Yeah, no, I mean, I grew up as like a very immune compromised sick child. You know, like I was just that kid that whenever there was a cold going around, I was picking it up. And when other kids would have it for like a day or two, like I would miss school for weeks at a time. I would, you know, like, so that was just something that was very, very much a reality. And I grew up in former USSR, small Republic of Latvia. And what was interesting there is that approach to medicine is very different in that it actually integrates both sort of like Western, Eastern, and then of course some of these sort of more folksy, you know, Eastern European type of modalities as well. And I just remember always being just so fascinated by, you know, when I was like in the hospitals, when I was with doctors, like I wasn't scared as a kid. I was almost sometimes like excited to be there because I was just always so enchanted by like jars and bottles and things that they had in there. That to me was always very, very interesting. And so when I sort of like reflect back on, you know, that experience, I think that is ultimately what shaped my interest in sort of that, you know, wellness and health, but really from that standpoint of, you know, nutrition and support rather than kind of going about it more the, you know, allopathic way, which is very much like just treating a condition.
Yeah, super interesting. So you're a child and you're actually picking up on like looking at a bottle and wanting to understand what was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like what were the ingredients and why was it being given? And I'm sure that was paired with a lot of confusion, probably as a child, wondering, well, why do I get sick longer or why am I getting sick more often? Did you discover any answers earlier on, or was it much later that you kind of started figuring out you know, what were the problems and then how to, mm-hmm. you know, ultimately heal from them?
No, that's a good question. Actually, the answer came much later, you know, because I think I sort of grew up in this place where we were using a lot of things like modalities, like, you know, cupping and herbs. And, you know, I just remember my grandma giving me this like turnip that she would put honey into and it would sit overnight and then I would drink it and it would make my cough better. And then we moved to the US and I would say we kind of forgot some of that. And it really went sort of more the direction of like, hey, you know, you go to CVS, you pick something up, doctor kind of prescribes you. And in a way, what's interesting is that that is just sort of how I think in general medicine has been. I mean, there's so many traditions that exist in Western herbalism that people are kind of like rediscovering now. And we're talking, you know, about ashwagandha and reishi, all this stuff. And really, like, those things have been used for 2,000, 3,000 of years. And we're now it's like a hot new trending ingredient. And so for me, I sort of like moved away from it. I totally went the route of, you know, taking an inhaler for my cough, doing this and that. And it wasn't until I was already kind of in my mid-30s working, I basically kind of decided, I'm like, okay, it's enough of being sick all the time. And I went and I started working with a functional doctor and an acupuncturist who really just took a full holistic approach where, you know, I was 2 hours in her office and she asked me everything from my stress levels to how my desk is set up to how I sleep to what I do before sleep. And I was just sort of like, these are like weird questions, you know, like I'm just here because I cough a lot. Like, what does that have to do with anything? And we did this whole panel of labs and she came back and she's like, oh, actually, you know, you have some immune markers, you have some autoimmunity things, like nothing that in my like 35 years of life, anybody ever discovered. And it was interesting when we started treating those things, everything else kind of like improved. So getting to that root cause was really, really critical. And, you know, it wasn't then until a couple of years later, I started thinking about things and I was like, oh yeah, I actually remember some of the things you're giving me now. I took when I was like 6, 7 years old, I just completely forgot and moved away from it. So in a way, like it was sort of coming this full circle. And that's why I really started getting interested in studying herbalism and, you know, studying kind of folk medicine and all of that.
Well, and so I'm going to jump in very quickly because I just realized to our beautiful audience, we didn't give you your introduction. We kind of, because we're so excited to interview you, we're like, we're just like jumping in. But I just want to let the audience know you are the founder of Kindroot, KindRoot.com. And it is a health and wellness, you are a health and wellness enthusiast, avid yogi, and aspiring. I love that you're an aspiring herbalist. Having felt the transformative power of holistic nutrition, which we just talked on, the plant-based supplements for management, which, by the way, I have in studio. I have Mood, I have Snooze, which I took last night, and Defend, which I'm assuming will just really kind of rock to what you just were talking about. And dealing with your own autoimmune conditions, dealing with that functional doctor in 2 hours, being able to go do, 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 this is all tied in. You're designing this and you've designed a fun and accessible supplement line that people can actually look forward to taking. So I wanted to honor that before we dove deeper and get people curious about it. Cause I'm like, oh gosh, we were just so excited to welcome you into our show that I missed a little bit of a professional protocol. So there.
Good. Yeah, it's really cool how you just shared that you did have I think it's unique that you had access to the things you did as a young child, like the form of medicine that has been passed down generation to generation, that somehow in this little minuscule amount of time, when it comes to human beings, we've just somehow lost a lot of it. And interestingly, I'm sure you're seeing this, and it's probably a piece or a part of why you've created the business that you have. There's a burgeoning want, need, understanding, acceptance for bringing, let's say, the old ways back to life and into light again. And so talk a little bit about what that's been like for you to go back to your own roots, but then really bring a business to the world. And I love that you are making products, having them be accessible. I can really sense is a big piece for you. So talk about what it's been like to go through all that.
I'm seeing circles. I'm seeing coming full circle, coming full circle, coming full circle. Yeah. It's super powerful.
No, very, very true. So for me, so I was working with this functional doctor, feeling better. My previous job, I was traveling a lot. So I just didn't even think about it. I portioned out all of these like herbs that I was taking into Ziploc bags because I think I was going on like a 7 or 8 day trip. And so I'm going through TSA at LAX and they stopped me because they're like, what's all these random powders in your, you know, in your carry-on luggage? And then I also had lozenges in there because like I just, you know, always get like random coughs and stuff. And so after sort of negotiating with them about how they're like, no, like I know it's green powder. I know it's like random, suspiciously looking white powder, but I swear to God, it's, you know, it's L-theanine and it is lemon balm. They gave it back to me. And so I was going kind of up the escalator and thinking, I was like, you know, what would actually be interesting if we put them inside the lozenges and then it would be sort of easy to carry, you know, they would be sort of delicious. You can take them anytime. And that is really how this idea of the supplement came together. And for me, what I wanted to do is I felt like, especially, you know, with kind of herbalism and where I see sort of this category going, there's sort of two paths, right? There's one path that is very serious, but maybe a little bit inaccessible to people because they, you know, they come and there's like 100 herbs and they're all singular and they're not really quite sure what to sort of pick. And then there was a sort of other one that felt somewhat elitist to me in a way that, you know, the lifestyle that is sold, you feel like you have to wear the right yoga clothes and you have to go to the right studios and you have to like only eat vegan and be enlightened, right? And that also kind of really excluded people from approaching that lifestyle. And living in LA, I kind of saw both of those. And so when I wanted to introduce Kind Root, that is why, you know, I wanted something that was like very accessible, fun, interesting. My hope is that people pick up a package, they try it, and maybe it's like a gateway into this whole like beautiful world of herbalism. Maybe they find a professional that they can work on, go and sort of treat more. But that ultimately how I wanted to introduce it. I want it to be fun. I want people to look forward to taking it. And I don't want there to be sort of any barriers in, you know, people kind of entering that world or feel like they have to be perfect or enlightened to do this. Because ultimately, you know, what's interesting about herbalism, the more I study it, it really is sort of about decentralizing medicine in a lot of ways and like giving the power to the people and healing themselves. And there's some really incredible organizations like Herbalists Without Borders who hold free clinic and, you know, give a lot of access to people who don't have access to healthcare. So ultimately that's the vision for the future. But for now, I'm just hoping people can have a nice little 3 p.m. pick me up with a little L-theanine and sort of feel better about going about their day.
Yeah, that's a really, it's a beautiful vision because you've keyed in on this reality where the gap between someone knowing that they have an issue and going into a herbalist office is huge at this moment in time. Now, hopefully that gets smaller, but you're absolutely right. If someone can go into an establishment or do some research online and find something that looks and feels familiar, like a lozenge, like a small treat, an edible, something that they could eat easily or, you know, kind of get into their daily habit and then experience a result. Now you've started that process. You've started that evolution of education. You've started that evolution of understanding and really moving into a place where ultimately they could start incorporating a, not just a much more comprehensive, but to your word, holistic approach to living, which I think is for someone like you and myself, Kelly, and people of like mind, it's why we have this show. I'm sure it's why, or part of why you started your company. We believe that we're part of the puzzle that's being put together that will create much wider access points for people to have knowledge and understanding and products and supplements and modalities and have it be more of a responsibility for each individual to not just rely on going to a doctor that's part of a system that is really just going to prescribe based on you know, a symptom and things like that. And so I really love that that's a huge part of your own mission. And as we're kind of wrapping up segment two, segment one, I'd really love for people to have an understanding around all the due diligence you went through and, you know, this very professional background you have that has allowed you to really bring these products to market in an accessible way, in a fun way. And so we're going to dive into that in segment two. And we look forward to continuing the conversation. Anything you want to say, Kelly?
Well, I'm seeing pictures, which is not good, but it's not good for radio, but it's fun. So we're going to launch into segment two. We're here with Alisa, founder of Kindroot, KINDROOT.com. And we'll be back. Are you ready to dive into a world of exploration, enlightenment, and higher consciousness? The Edge Magazine Media Platform is your ultimate one-stop shop for all things curious. We're a vibrant community of seekers and teachers passionate about sharing our gifts and abilities to help the collective explore, develop, and understand our journey towards higher consciousness. Our website, edgemagazine.net, receives over 10,000 views each month, boasting unique articles, enlightening forecasts, and insightful book reviews. Over 15,000 copies of the Edge magazine are printed every other month and distributed to over 400 locations across the Midwest. Experience a world of opportunities with the Edge magazine. Unleash exposure through enticing print and online ads, Edge Partner Directory membership, and community calendar listings. Share your experience in radio and multimedia interviews, connecting with our diverse community, and join our vibrant events, connect with like-minded individuals, and share your gifts here, there, and everywhere.
Explore your path to higher consciousness with Kelly Wagner. Meet Kelly Wagner, a visionary founding member of the community for higher consciousness, ready to illuminate your way and empower you to live your best life. With her unique set of tools as a knower and seer, Kelly goes beyond surface level problems, uncovering the why behind your challenges. She fearlessly asks the questions that lead to ultimate truth. Kelly's insatiable tenacity ensures that you receive top-notch creative solutions consistently. Brace yourself for a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as Kelly taps into her innate gifts, guiding you toward a life of fulfillment and purpose. As a psychic medium, Reiki practitioner, co-host of the Being Curious Show, publisher of The Edge magazine, and master connector, Kelly's transformative approach creates win-win partnerships here, there, and everywhere. Let Kelly ignite your potential. Contact Kelly at edgemagazine.net and step towards a life aligned with higher consciousness. And welcome back to the Being Curious Show, Brian and Kelly. We are having fun. We're diving into segment two. We've really, we've just heard this awesome story where Alisa had this experience of starting out in life in a really unique way where she actually had the old school medicine and she was just deeply curious about everything that was going on. You were sick, you had, you know, immune challenges, and then you moved to the USA and kind of fall into this system where those origins that you had of, you know, more holistic approaches to health fall away. And then you come full circle and you find a functional medicine doctor and you have this experience of sitting in someone's office and getting a really comprehensive understanding and protocol instead of a 15-minute like normal office visit where you're getting squeezed in and you're in and out and it's like, here's a bottle, take it twice a day and good luck. And you also have this really part of that story, I think, you know, between you moving to the US and now was you actually held some really high level positions at some very large companies. And I'd love for people to understand that part of your story, because I think it really sets you up for, you know, being a CEO and founder of your own company. And just tell that part of the story, because then I think it'll help us really relate to these amazing products that you've now brought into the marketplace. Please share that part with us.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thank you for asking. I wasn't even sure what I quite honestly wanted to do when I graduated. But I felt like I was good at like presenting information and, I like languages. And so I went into business. And I was really fortunate that I, got kind of by luck a little bit, quite honestly, into sort of like the health and wellness food space. And I worked on everything from, you know, like organic coffee. I worked on Palm Wonderful juice, pistachios. I worked for a yoga company at one point. And so it was really cool because I was able to sort of like fuse my personal passion, with like professional. And with, to your point, I was able to work on these like incredible brands and drive marketing, behind them. So when the idea for Kind Root came up, I was kind of like, okay, I feel like I generally know how business runs. I felt like I sort of knew, you know, margin structure, selling into retailers, all of that kind of stuff. And it definitely helps a lot. You know, I didn't feel like I jumped into it with kind of knowing nothing. But at the same time, I will tell you that nothing prepares you for entrepreneurship, because at the end of the day, you know, like there's two things in my mind. One is just like pure grit, right? Because when I went to manufacture Kind Root, I think I called like 26 different plants, and I got everything from just like hang up to people laughing at me to people being like, why do you think this is going to be successful? And there were many times that I was just going to give up. And then finally I was like, well, I'm just going to manufacture them myself, which is just like crazy. But I found a candy scientist, I found an herbalist, we figured out a process. I got inspected by the FDA to do it. And then I think the second one for an entrepreneur is just really like the drive to figure things out. Cause in the end of the day, never in my professional career, you know, at director level, even like, did I have to figure out like, how do I get a health code certification? You know, how do I get a pallet from point A to point B? Like, what's the electrical environment of this cooker to plug into this outlet? Cause the things don't match or whatever. Right. And so my message to people is always like, if you don't have a business background though, and you have a great idea, like just go for it. Cause quite honestly, I feel like the playing field is actually quite equal for most people, because you don't know so much, and the things that you're going to be solving are like nothing you ever, like the business stuff is actually easy. You know what I mean? Like that is like super simple. Getting a 600, I got a 600 pound, drum of syrup delivered when I was working in my own commercial kitchen, and I like totally underestimated what 600 pounds is. I just thought I could roll it. Like I was like, oh, you know, they'll just get it, I'll just roll it down. And the guy showed up and he's just like, well, do you have a dock? And I'm like, what's a dock? And he's like, yeah, how are you gonna get it from the bed of the truck down? And like none of those, you know what I mean? And long story, we ended up getting like a friend who owned a motor repair shop to come in and like lower it down and like tip it and all of that kind of stuff. But these are ultimately the types of problems that I feel like you're solving at least your first 3 years as an entrepreneur, which, you know, none of my spreadsheets and beautiful presentations ever prepared me for.
So I worked for my dad for 17 years, and for the first 10 of it, we manufactured medical equipment. We worked out of his home. Now he had a huge garage, like the garage, mm-hmm. the previous owner, built an airplane in. So it's not like this little two car garage. Right. But we had 52 foot semi trucks dropping off stainless steel tubing on a regular basis in the cul-de-sac and the poor neighbors, like, right. And then it's when someone asks you, do you have a drive up dock or do you have a loading dock? You're just like, what? And then to be able mm-hmm. to, and then do you have a forklift? Because 600 pounds, you can't just do one of those little dollies. And I mean, so you're just right. It's just
totally.
And that's just one day.
Which I totally thought I could.
Oh, sure.
You know, I was like, yeah, I'll just push it.
Yeah.
And the guy on the truck who was delivery, he just like looked at me. He's like, it's 600 pounds. I'm like, yeah. But I mean, I felt like I go to the gym. And then I literally was like pushing it with all my body and would like not move. It was just the funny, like, it was just, the stuff is just funny, but manufacturing by far the hardest. I mean, I don't do it anymore. You know, we moved into a automated facility and I have a contract manufacturer, small family making them for me, but I'm so grateful for the experience, because I think operations and manufacturing, by far the most difficult jobs. And I don't think we give people enough credit for, you know, those jobs that are done. So I feel you, Kelly. I feel like in my short time that I was self-manufacturing, I've gone through all of the little problems of like, wait, so how do I do this?
But you're also doing a food. So that, I mean, mm-hmm. that yeah. I remember we did one with a large distributor, a medical distributor. They gave us a vendor audit. So it's almost like an ISO, like, right? Mm-hmm. And we're at my dad's mm-hmm. kitchen table. And the guy was like, best audit ever. And we're like, we're so nervous. I brought an intern in that was like into this stuff. And yeah. it was just crazy. It's like, but then you throw the FDA and you throw a pack. Like with your products, do you have them individually wrapped or do you have them all loose in the bag? How do you know? I mean, like all of these little different things that you have mm-hmm. to figure out are just... And then, like, what do you need to have on the bags? Like, because, you know, you and I mm-hmm. in marketing are like, oh, we're just going to make it look really, really pretty. And we're going to have great covers and it's going to be great. But then it's like, oh, no. You need to have all of this. And then the SKU has to be this and this. And the, oh, my gosh. And that's just one day.
Yeah. Right. No. True. I mean, I think to your point, I remember reading like the good manufacturing practices recommendation. Which is like the stack, which is also like very confusing because they're like, if you do this, you do this. And I just literally had it with a highlighter and like going through them and figuring out like what manufacturing is. And I had a similar experience where the health department came to inspect. And I think it was like a 6-hour inspection. And she's like, oh, you're actually following this. I'm like, well, the rules did. Like, are people not? Am I just overachieving? Right. Like,
yeah.
So that was like a huge sense of accomplishment. I was like, oh, thank God. Okay. Yeah. I understood this. Yeah.
And you'd think that there's like these big things that we were really successful on, but then they'd get us on these little things and we get dinged and you're just like, but, mm-hmm. but we did all of that. Like, right. Oh yeah. And then it's like, well, you say this is supposed to be on shelf L2 and it's really on L1 and you're like, oh, really, man? Could you just leave and come back? Because I'll just have that shifted over in just like a moment so I can get a gold star. Sorry.
I know.
Oh, you're bringing me back to audits.
That's when you know you're doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is when they're like, oh, you said this was like hot pink, but it's really light pink, you know?
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, I must be succeeding. Like they're looking for stuff to find. So it's, but they're such incredibly detailed people. I mean, I was just like in awe. I'm like, how do you notice this stuff? So yeah, it was kind of funny.
And they're like, that's our job. Okay. So supplements and lozenges. No, so I want, mm-hmm. I'm a supplement freak. Brian is, we were talking about beets the other day. I think he was doing like a 30-day like beet cleanse or something along those lines. Lozenge, what I liked about it, and I might be totally wrong on it, but I love it because it has that, it liquefies and that'll go into your system faster, mm-hmm. but it's also that slow release. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about that because you could have just made something where you just pop it like a pill and everything's fine, but why lozenges?
Yeah, no. So, I mean, it, you know, when I saw it kind of like lozenges next to my powders, I was like, oh, this would actually be an interesting delivery method. And to your point, I was kind of thinking about it, you know, like pills are great and a lot of them are very potent capsules, right? But you kind of take it, there's not really like a sensory experience to it. And then you have a lot of like powders, tinctures in the market. Also, absolutely nothing wrong with them, but you kind of need to mix them. People struggle with taste. And then you have a lot of like gummies, chocolates. I was not really excited in bringing a product to the market that I felt like was like pretty saturated. And so when I looked at the lozenge category, I was like, it's interesting because nobody has done anything in it for the past like 30 years, right? Like the same brands that I was buying like 10 years ago are pretty much there. Like maybe you have something that has honey, whatever, you know, some organic ingredients. And then to your point, when I started researching more, I said, this is actually interesting because it does start to kind of absorb through your mouth tissues, which is great because it kind of goes faster into your bloodstream. And in fact, what's interesting is that if you look at a lot of compounding pharmacies that do special formulations, they do lozenges a lot of times, like not gummies or anything that for that reason, for people who might not be able to take, you know, medication, swallow them, like due to compromise, like systems or whatever it is. And then I did love the sort of slow release, and really for kind of two reasons. One, obviously kind of slows down. It evens out the absorption a little bit more, right? Of course, I always see people like biting down on the lozenges when they pop into their mouth. And I'm like, oh God, please don't do that.
Enjoy the journey.
I was like, stop it. But also because I heard an insight from people who would always say, you know, I love gummies, but I always end up having like six of them because it's like too easy. And I love that with a lozenge, you were kind of forced to slow down and enjoy it for like 5-6 minutes, whatever it is. And you know, it's sometimes if you have like a craving for something sweet or whatever, it's like, it's that moment. So if you can put a lozenge in and 5 minutes later, you're probably not even wanting that craving anymore. You've sort of satisfied it. So it was sort of also positioned as quite honestly having that little mindful moment rather than popping like half a chocolate bar in your mouth, which I have done many, many times. I find that I can kind of pop it in, do my thing. By the time it's sort of like absorbed and done, I kind of almost even forgot what I was, you know, taking it for. So that's kind of how it came together. And I really loved, you know, that it was super unique, that there was nothing like this in the market. It felt kind of super special for that reason. And I love having this like super little unique artisanal brand. You know, that's sort of like the vision for Kind Root. I never want to bring anything to the market that's kind of standard.
Oh gosh, no. There's nothing standard about any of your products or your packaging or your vibe or your website or any of that fun stuff. So we have just a couple moments left of segment two and segment three. What I'd love to do is really jump into each one of your products. So leading up to that, so I just started putting, is it reishi? Am I, cause I always say everything wrong. Mushrooms. Mm-hmm. I put a powder in my coffee now. And then I noticed, was it Defend? Which one has it? Defend has it.
Actually, both Defend and Mood have reishi in it.
So how did you become a, like, how did you jump into the knowledge of mushrooms? And why did you choose? Because, like, there's chaga, there's, like, all these other mushrooms out there. But why did this one call to you?
So I mean, mushrooms, I feel like we could do a separate show on.
We should.
Kind of specifically, but I mean, I love them. I love the versatility of reishi. You know, that's kind of what they call it. Like I think it's probably one of the most ubiquitous used overall. And I think, you know, for Kind Root, the way we sort of developed the formula is that there's sort of one leading ingredient that's a little bit more understandable. So like melatonin, vitamin C, L-theanine, and one that has a little bit more of like potency from the standpoint of immediate feel. And then you have a secondary like herbal ingredient herbs and mushrooms, generally you need to like build them up in your system for a little while. And I felt like reishi was a really good supporting one that's just generally good for you. It helps with cognitive, you know, it helps with your immunity. It helps with energy. It helps with sleep. Like, I just feel like if you're going to pick a mushroom, I kind of would say just pick reishi because you're getting a little bit of everything overall. You can't go wrong.
No, you can't. I love it. Okay, you guys, here we go. Brett was cueing the music. We got our DJ Brett rocking and rolling. We are here with Alicia. Did I say that right? I don't know. I think I said it wrong.
Close.
No, I did my little phonetics. Kindroot.com. We will be back. Oh my goodness, you guys. Brian just laughs at me all the time. Are you ready to dive into a world of exploration, enlightenment, and higher consciousness? The Edge Magazine Media Platform is your ultimate one-stop shop for all things curious. We're a vibrant community of seekers and teachers passionate about sharing our gifts and abilities to help the collective explore, develop, and understand our journey towards higher consciousness. Our website, edgemagazine.net, receives over 10,000 views each month, boasting unique articles, enlightening forecasts, and insightful book reviews. reviews. Over 15,000 copies of the Edge magazine are printed every other month and distributed to over 400 locations across the Midwest. Experience a world of opportunities with the Edge magazine. Unleash exposure through enticing print and online ads, Edge Partner Directory membership, and community calendar listings. Share your experience in radio and multimedia interviews, connecting with our diverse community, and join our vibrant events, connect with like-minded individuals, and share your gifts here, there, and everywhere.
Explore your path to higher consciousness with Kelly Wagner. Meet Kelly Wagner, a visionary founding member of the Community for Higher Consciousness, ready to illuminate your way and empower you to live your best life. With her unique set of tools as a knower and seer, Kelly goes beyond surface level problems, uncovering the why behind your challenges. She fearlessly asks the questions that lead to ultimate truth. Kelly's insatiable tenacity ensures that you receive top-notch creative solutions consistently. Brace yourself for a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as Kelly taps into her innate gifts, guiding you toward a life of fulfillment and purpose. As a psychic medium, Reiki practitioner, co-host of the Being Curious show, publisher of The Edge magazine, and master connector, Kelly's transformative approach creates win-win partnerships here, there, and everywhere. Let Kelly ignite your potential. Contact Kelly at edgemagazine.net and step towards a life aligned with higher consciousness. And welcome back, everyone. Segment three. We finally started talking about mushrooms, which is a huge reason why we're here. And
off camera, of course.
Of course. And I definitely want to geek out a little bit on this topic. And I think it because mushrooms are finding their way into, you know, more common use. Now there is a difference here, right? There are people that use mushrooms as a drug, as an enhancer, as a experience. And then there are, of course, what you're doing, which is, utilizing, mushrooms as, you know, a health product, as finding benefits with energy, with sleep, and many, many other things. So for people who are starting to understand that mushrooms can be more than something that you argue about putting on pizza or not.
Right.
what does it look like when you're looking at like a reishi mushroom or, you know, ashwagandha or these other things? Is there a very distinct scale? I'm just going to use a very simple analogy, like an apple, right? So there's an apple that you could get at some mass market orchard that's got pesticides and a million other things that went wrong with its whole process of coming to life. Talk a little bit about your process in finding the right mushroom for your brand and why it's effective and how it compares in the industry at large of mushrooms.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's a great question. And I would say there's a lot of sort of differentiated opinions and controversy in the industry around, is it better if they're wild foraged versus is it better if they're grown indoors? Is it better if you use fruiting body versus if you're using mycelium? Is it better to grow them on oats versus on pea protein, right? So I think that there's a lot of these mushroom wars that are happening between different sort of like manufacturers and competitors. And I think some of it, quite honestly, is more of a marketing play coming from a marketing person of like differentiating. You know, in my opinion, nature is not quite that exact in a lot of times, right? Like, and it's probably either or, a little bit better this, a little bit better that. But for Kind Root, you know, when I was sourcing, I mean, for me, it was really making sure it was a reputable manufacturer. So somebody who also has like presence in the US. So we know that they're like following all of the, you know, CGMP requirements, SQL certifications, all of that. So, I mean, that's kind of like step one of vetting them, making sure they have all of the right processes to sort of bring it on. Number two is also making sure that it's like a standardized extract. So for reishi specifically, we make sure that it's standardized to a certain percentage of, you know, a particular compound that we're sourcing. And then anything that we buy, we actually get third party tested. So whenever we buy a new lot of a particular ingredient, it goes to a third party lab and they actually verify and say like, yes, they say it is reishi. They compare it to like a standardized extract and come back and say like, yes, this is indeed reishi, because it is one of those industries that can be a little bit adulterated. And they have definitely been, you know, instances of people buying things and then realizing that maybe it was actually like 50-50 cut with something to get sort of like a cheaper extract. So, you know, for me, it is really like certifications, chain of command. Like I don't buy anything through like a reseller. I go directly to like a plant that manufactures it and provides me with all of the, you know, certification information. And then ultimately the third step is that we test everything that comes in. And then after the lozenges are manufactured, we actually do another third-party lab test, you know, testing for like microbials, all of that kind of stuff, and then also testing for the exact levels of active. So when we say that there's like 3 milligrams of melatonin, we actually get a lab test that verifies that my manufacturer followed the right procedures. And actually, when everything is manufactured, it goes sort of on what we call the QA quality control hold, and they don't get sort of like released or picked up until all of those lab results are back. So that's, you know, kind of, in my opinion, a must. I know some brands follow it, some don't. And my, you know, advice to people is, of course, always when you're sourcing anything, honestly, even food, is just to really look for reputable brands that follow all the processes, because you want something that's safe. You want to make sure that if you're spending money, you're actually getting what you think you're getting.
My previous gig was in aseptic sampling in the dairy and beverage industry. I'm just going to leave it at that. Ooh. Like, I get it. Like, right?
Kelly, I feel like you've done everything.
I feel like I have too. So have you. So together. Like, right?
There's another job that we've talked about on other shows that really brings her range of jobs to a head.
Well, you know, in marketing, like, it. If you can market something that you don't know about it, or you just, right, then you're like, I can market anything. So that's why I jumped into that adventure. Okay, I'm sorry, Brian, go for it.
I was just going to say, I really hope that, you know, people listen to what was just shared and honestly pause and go back and listen again, because for anyone out there with even the remotest amount of, let's just say, fear or question mark, you just wiped that out.
Yeah,
there's nothing negative that can happen. These products are put through all the testing, everything. Mm-hmm. Not only is it put through safety testing, but it's also mm-hmm. put through proof of what you're selling it as testing. Like mm-hmm. it is what it is. And so I hope that people really get that mm-hmm. because that, as you know, any marketer know, it's a huge, huge barrier for anything coming into the marketplace.
But it's also your name. You wouldn't put anything
right.
on
yeah.
that's it's your name and right. your reputation and that trust.
And mm-hmm. and kind of going a little bit deeper and kind of going on the record that people are open to trying this product, like give us the how that these mushrooms actually interact in the body. Like why mm-hmm. have mushrooms been used for thousands of years as medicinal purposes yeah. as all of yeah. these things. So like just describe a little bit like why mushrooms, number one, mm-hmm. and then let's get a little fancy. Let's get a little scientific here and talk a little bit about adaptogens. Cause I think mm-hmm. this is another one of those words that people throw out a lot, but I know that you can really speak to the how and the why.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you know, your first question around like, how have people been using them, and quite honestly, that is really one of the things that just fascinates me the most, is like, I understand now that we have, you know, labs and tests and people can look at it and say like, it does this to the cells, but I'm still like just infinitely so fascinated and curious about like, how was that first discovery? Like do you know what I mean? Like who was the little guinea pig to take it? And then how did people figure out that this helps this? Like, I still feel like my mind is kind of blown by all of that knowledge that like happened at that time. And in some sense, when you think about it, you're like, wow, are we actually smarter now? Or are we kind of like dumber as a human species? Because they could figure out all of that and like think about how disconnected we are. And I think it's more of a disconnect with nature and all of that, right? That we, through technology, as we kind of like arrived, because I can't do anything without Google. I don't know about you, but like I need to Google stuff.
think about the risk reward. I mean, people do risk reward when it comes to the stock market. These people were walking out in the woods and seeing something no one else had ever seen and saying, I'm going to be the one who's going to put this in a tea or eat it. And then three people just stick around me. And if I die in 6 hours, we know it's this poisonous. If I die in 30 minutes, definitely never eat this ever, right? And then how did they track telling that story generation to generation? I mean, I'm so with you there. I'm constantly fascinated about that.
I'm so fascinated. And I worked actually with a mycologist, which is a person who like studies mushrooms. And he had this joke that he said all the time. And he said, you know, like all mushrooms are edible, but some only once.
That's awesome.
Sorry. That's a great quote.
I thought it was like the best dad joke ever. you know, and no, so I'm with you. So that is something that I'm still, you know, and of course, obviously there's like such a, you know, traditional Chinese, you know, modality that I would say like where we're getting a lot of that knowledge, a lot of it probably because they have kept such great records and transcriptions and all of that, right? But even when you're looking at like Western or Eastern European, I mean, mushrooms have been sort of like used medicinally. And I think we're just starting to discover more and more sort of like how those came about. But adaptogens specifically are, it's basically like a class of herbs, and mushrooms, because mushrooms are sort of like their own genus species, that work by, I think to me, the easiest way to explain it is like regulating your body. And kind of bringing it to homeostasis, right? So if you were somebody who's like really stressed, high cortisol, and you maybe can't sleep because of that, you know, and so you're like kind of like high heat person, you know, you could be prescribed something like ashwagandha or reishi, right? Because it's like really, really calming. Or let's say if you're on the flip side, somebody who like runs cold or damp or, you know, however kind of Chinese medicine is to accomplish it. Maybe you're somebody who's like, you're sluggish, you are, you know, you're having like cognitive issues. Maybe they'll prescribe you lion's mane, because that is something that's going to really help with your like electroneurons and kind of get it going. So two people can kind of take reishi, but it will act differently in your body depending on what you need and ultimately kind of like bring you back. I would say most people right now in the Western world are probably running pretty hot. Like we're all stressed, high adrenaline, we're hyperconnected. So what I'm seeing now, I would say a lot of people are taking these for stress to kind of like calm you down, get you to, you know, sleep better, you know, kind of balance your levels. And that is really where I also saw Kind Root coming in, is that all of the blends are there to kind of like help support you. So of course there's sleep, which is, you know, we have melatonin, ashwagandha, kind of helping you drift off with a particular, I designed it when I was traveling. So melatonin is particularly recommended for like short-term supplementation for, you know, jet lag, things like that. Then of course, mood, and the mood isn't like, hey, we're going to amp you up. That's not my favorite child, as I said, snooze. Thank you, Kelly.
Gotta show the product.
Has L-theanine and reishi. And L-theanine is kind of like precursor to, you know, things like GABA and a lot of other things in your brain. So again, it's supportive. It's not stimulating. And then of course we have vitamin C and reishi mushroom and defend that is, you know, just a great kind of everyday blend or when you're traveling, again, supporting your, immune system as well. And it's important too, because a lot of people talk about things like boosting immunity, which you actually don't want to do. That's actually what autoimmunity issues are. So, I'm very careful with Kind Root in talking about it more as like supporting your body rather than changing it or amending it or, you know, kind of doing anything crazy with it.
But like, even with mood, well, everyone can hear my little, like the little things like crackling. I love that you have it with rose water, and rose plants are the highest vibrational plants on Gaia. Like, so like you just, everything looks so thoughtful. I mean, everything, like it's just like all these layers, it just seems so, again, I just keep seeing thoughtful.
Thank you. No, that actually did. That did come about with the flavors, complementing, the kind of action. And that is actually something that my Candy scientist pointed out, she said, you know, most people when they do supplements, they think about function first and they think about flavor as just needing to be good enough. And so she and I really spent a lot of time making sure that it wasn't like the flavor wasn't secondary. It's just as much of a part of an experience. So for, you know, snooze, we have lavender vanilla. Lavender is like a very soothing vanilla. You know, lychee rose water was probably like my gamble because I was like, it's a little bit like out there flavor. People like it, like, but, and I was like, I'm just going to go for it. And it's actually the flavor that I get the most comments on.
Yeah.
Defend, I just kind of went a little crazy with because it's the orange vanilla float. It kind of tastes like an old school orange float, sort of nostalgic flavor that I was hoping would sort of give people that, you know, feel good, a little bit of an energy boost.
Well, and amazing. It feels vitamin C-ish. It feels like when you have a cold. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just goes with it. Okay, so it's really hard to believe, but we're like wrapping up segment three. Where can people find, because, you know, we're creating this interest. I think people are falling in love with you, what you're doing and your philosophy, and that you're actually like, you're like walking the walk and talking the talk. And if you're going to put something in your body, I would definitely invite people to really explore Kind Root. Where can they get your products?
Yeah, no, good question. So kindroot.com, great hub. We have a store locator on our site. And you can buy directly from us. Amazon.com, we're on there, so find us. We're in Prime shipping, so sometimes you can get us same day. And then, of course, you know, we're now in, you can find us in airports, we're in Target.com.
Nice.
And in some stores near you. But check us out on kindroot.com, and you can, like, go to the store locator and find, you know, a location near you.
That is fantastic. And I already have some ideas of some partners that I want to definitely bring your products to. Yay, yay, yay. Okay, you guys, on behalf of Kelly and Brian and Brian and Kelly, you guys check out kindroot.com. Made with love. Trust, trust, trust. Hey, guys, wrapping it up, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.